During our lives, our souls can be continually burdened with the pressing issues that we as believers bring before the Lord in prayer. Many of these issues can be personal, and we ourselves know about them. We do not share them with anybody else, but we bring them before the Lord. We lay them before Him in prayer, knowing that He will listen and hearken unto our cries. The Lord directed us to take issues, to take the concerns, the thoughts of our hearts to Him in prayer, in the secrecy of our closet in Matthew chapter 6. And many of these matters that burden us can concern our personal lives. They can concern our relations with others, the attitudes that we adopt in our daily lives, but also the work of God in the church, our involvement in it, how things are progressing. And we can bring all these things before the throne of grace in prayer, as we are directed to do in Scripture. And such a case is found before us in Jeremiah chapter 12. The prophet Jeremiah is deeply concerned with a particular issue. This was something that burdened him, and he brings it before the Lord. This issue is simply or namely the prospering of the wicked in his day. Throughout the land he could see the wicked, those that had no time for the things of God, prospering. They were growing, they were doing well for themselves. And he was concerned. He saw that there was a lack of the judgment of God upon those who rejected the authority of God. And he approaches the Lord with the request in verse 1. Let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Notice that Jeremiah comes here, he acknowledges who God is. He says, righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. He comes before God and he affirms his belief in the righteousness of God, that the Lord is perfect, that the Lord is without sin. Then he brings the matter before the Lord, the prospering of the wicked, the lack of judgment upon the wicked. It is recorded for us all to learn from. Jeremiah brought this issue privately, but it is recorded in the Word of God for our benefit. Matthew Henry refers to the issue as the temptations by which Jeremiah was assaulted. And he sets before the Lord something that he believed was incompatible with the justice of God. Something he believed was incompatible with the justice of God. The wicked were prospering. They lived for self. They lived against the commandments of God. But yet, they were permitted to do so. And he saw this as an incompatibility. It was an issue that deeply grieved him. This was not Jeremiah doing what we could term in our society nitpicking or trying to draw up a particular issue just to cause a problem, just to cause a row. This was something that deeply concerned him. It grieved him. And he brings it before the Lord. The wicked had multiplied in the land, and they were bringing forth fruit. Verse 2. It says, thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. And there's that emphasis, perhaps, that these people were also hypocrites. They perhaps talked about God. Perhaps they were involved in certain things. They acted in a certain way. But God was far from their minds. And we can see that in our day and in our generation. There are many who profess to be Christians, who say they belong to God, they attend a place of worship. Yet if they were to be examined in regard to having that personal walk and relationship with the Lord, in regard to having sins forgiven, we find that God is far from their reins. They may profess. They may attend. There may be an involvement in the things of religion. But it is a mere outward show. In the heart, in the place that matters, there is not that relationship with the Lord. And so these things, not a spiritual fruit, as is mentioned there, verse 2, they bring forth fruit, but a material prosperity. These things grieved Jeremiah as these people dealt treacherously with the Lord. And he inquired of God concerning his judgment and wrath upon them. And such an attitude can affect us today. We do see the prospering of the wicked. We see those who have no time for God achieving what we could say are high positions or great things in this world. False religion, we could say, appears to be prospering in many places. These things can certainly grieve us as the Church of Christ, looking upon what is going on. And surely we could offer the same cry unto God, wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Certainly these issues and many others can affect us in our walk with God. As we seek to serve the Lord in our own lives and the life of the church, such issues can affect us. In our own personal lives, things can come in that can trouble us. And we can bring them before the Lord in prayer. The Lord gave an answer to Jeremiah. It's contained in the verse 5. If thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest they weary thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? The answer from God came. It was not an answer perhaps that Jeremiah wanted to hear. It was not an answer that he thought he might hear. It was a rebuke. The Lord came and rebuked his servant. Jeremiah's heart was genuine. His concerns were real, but the Lord came and gave him a rebuke. And I want us to consider that rebuke this morning. I want us to look specifically at a heavenly word for the hardships of the work. A heavenly word for the hardships of the work. Or we could change that to the hardships of life. A heavenly word for the hardships of life. We see first of all in the answer that God gives his prophet the distresses to be accepted. The distresses to be accepted. Notice what it says. How canst thou contend with horses? At the end of verse 5, how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Jeremiah's problem was with the prosperity of the wicked. But the Lord is saying here to Jeremiah that this is a problem for you. This is an issue, something that is burdening you, certainly. But there are other problems, other trials, other difficulties that are coming your way, things that you will have to deal with. Things that are greater than what has already happened. Jeremiah saw the prospering of the wicked as a trial. Something that we could say was a hurdle in his life. But the Lord is saying that future trials were coming his way. As the sons of God, we do suffer affliction. We do suffer from the trials of life. It was one of the Puritans who said that God only had one son without sin, but none without affliction. And whoever we may be this morning, we all have our individual problems. We all have the trials of life that we have to face. They may be similar to Jeremiah, they may be entirely different. But we all have our difficulties. The comparison is made concerning the footmen. If thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? That comparison is made with the footmen or the runners with whom metaphorically Jeremiah was running with. But the Lord is saying that the time will come when he will have to quicken the pace in order to keep up. Certainly, if we were to look at this practically, in a practical illustration this morning, running with footmen, those soldiers that perhaps marched for miles. And I'm sure that the majority of us could keep up for a certain distance anyway with the footmen. We could walk, we could jog lightly, we could keep up for a certain distance at least. And I'm not too sure whether I would be able to do that. I have walked probably well over 100 miles in the last 10 days, and I'm feeling it. So perhaps if that were to happen, I might be way behind everybody else. But if we were to walk, we would be able to keep up to a certain extent. And that is what the Lord is saying here. Jeremiah, you've been walking or running with the footmen. It's something that isn't overly difficult. But the Lord is saying that the horses are coming. We may be able to run with other men, but with horses, it is entirely different. When the horses stretch their legs, when the horses run, we are left behind. The Lord is saying these future trials are coming. Like the horses. Notice also what he says in the verse 5. The Lord refers to the swelling of Jordan. On many an occasion it's been taken by a preacher to refer to death. It was Spurgeon who preached on this text in light of the question, are you prepared to die? And he asked that question, how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Which pictures death. But here in its context, referring to what the Lord is saying to Jeremiah, it is a figure, a metaphor for extreme danger. Something that was dangerous, something that would be very difficult. The original Hebrew word used for swelling denotes majesty or pomp or pride. The Lord is referring to the pride of Jordan. Something that it was noted for, something that was majestic about it. There are those who would say that the Lord is referring here to the swelling of Jordan whenever the river increases in the amount of water and it overflows its banks, and therefore it can be dangerous. We all know what it is like from news reports about times when rivers overflow their banks. Lives can be lost. There is a great damage done to the land. But many have also said that it is not just a mere overflowing of the banks, but the pride refers to the banks themselves. It refers to the woods, the trees that went along the banks of the river that abounded in wild beasts, the lions that roamed there. And it could be noted then that the Lord is saying to Jeremiah that the pride of Jordan, the lions, the wild beasts are coming, and how wilt thou do? How wilt thou contend with them? And certainly the illustration used here, if we see it in the light of beasts and wild animals, is very striking. For the enemies of God's people are like wild beasts. The devil himself is referred to as a roaring lion who seeks whom he may devour. And certainly throughout the Old Testament, there is a reference to lions and the swelling of Jordan. If we were to turn to Jeremiah 49 and the verse 19, the word of God says there, behold, he shall come up like a lion from the swelling of Jordan against the habitation of the strong. And again in Zechariah 11 verse 3, there is a voice of the howling of the shepherds, for their glory is spoiled. A voice of the roaring of young lions, for the pride of Jordan is spoiled. And in those verses, there is a connection then between wild beasts and lions and the swelling, the pride of Jordan. Jeremiah was to face great trials. If you know something about his life and his ministry, Jeremiah did not have an easy time. He was thrown in prison, the dungeon, the pit. He sank into the mire. He was mocked. He was scorned by the people. But God is saying that in future days, there are other trials, other distresses that are coming your way. Down through the ages, we can say that the people of God have had to endure great tribulation. If we were to consider Hebrews 11 and the verse 36, it says, "And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented." And there are those who are of the opinion that the prophet Isaiah was the one who was sawn asunder. But great trials, great distresses had to be faced by the people of God. Over in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 24 to 27, the Apostle Paul gives a list of the things that he suffered as he sought to serve the Lord. He was beat, he was put in prison, he was shipwrecked, among many other things. And being a believer, being one who knows and loves the Lord, does not excuse us from the trials of life. There are trials to be had by everyone, whether they be saved or unsaved. Trials will come upon us all. But as we will see, those who are saved, those who know and love the Lord, have someone with them who can help, someone who can guide, someone who can comfort, someone who can give them all that they need in the time of their trial. Trials do come upon the servants of the Lord. We can think of Job, a man who suffered greatly, but at the end of the first chapter it said that in all this, Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. And that teaches us that there are things that take place in life that are permitted by the Lord. Things that happen to us that are in the will of God. And in Romans 8, verse 28, it says, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." There are distresses in life. But the key thing here that we must point out is that these distresses must be accepted by us as part of life. Job suffered them. He didn't charge God foolishly. He didn't sin. Romans 8 says that all things work together for good. God has a plan. And God has a purpose. And in all the things that Jeremiah suffered, God had a plan. God had a plan. There are trials in life that could come our way this week. A trial in our service for the Master. A trial in the workplace. Something that could leave us in direct confrontation with those who are against Christians. We will stand at a point where we may have to reject what we believe the Bible teaches, or stand with what we believe the Bible teaches. In recent days, it has happened in our province. Things that come our way, trials that come upon us, but the distresses of life must be accepted. They come in the will of the Lord. God is in control. And that is something we must always remember. Whatever we face, that God is in control. Sometimes we can doubt it. Sometimes we wonder where God is in all that is going on, but God is there. God has a plan, and God has a purpose. The distress is to be accepted. We see secondly here in our text the difficulty to be acknowledged. The difficulty to be acknowledged. We've mentioned this, or we've implied this, verse 5. It says, "If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan?" These trials that Jeremiah faced would increase in difficulty. But the Lord is saying here to Jeremiah that he's had a problem. He has had a problem. He has been struggling with these trials. Jeremiah, as we've said, and we must always remember that he came in the right attitude before the Lord. This was something that was genuinely upon his heart. But the Lord rebuked him. The Lord had a plan and a purpose for doing so. But the Lord acknowledges. He tells Jeremiah that he has had a problem. He says, "Jeremiah, you're struggling here. There is this issue. You're running with the trials of footmen. You're in the land of peace. And you're being wearied. You're being tired out. You're being frustrated. What will happen when the horses come, when the swelling of Jordan comes down upon you? What will you do?" The Lord tells him that he patiently must endure worse things than what he has just struggled with. The small tasks had tested and tried him, and he had been found wanting. The footmen, we could say, generally could picture the small tasks in our lives. The conquering of certain sins, perhaps. The cultivation of bad habits that can cause us problems when the horses come and stretch their legs. We can struggle in similar circumstances in our own lives. There are issues that come upon us. We can feel genuine about them, but we can struggle. We can struggle. We can be wearied. But here, the Lord is teaching Jeremiah that in his life there were these problems. They were increasing, but he was struggling with those that were small. He must firstly then acknowledge the faults that he had. And we, as the people of God, must always acknowledge our problems. Must always acknowledge our faults and our failings. It's not easy. It's not easy to acknowledge the mistakes that we've made. It's not easy to look at our lives and realize that we have made mistakes. That we have failed the Lord on numerous occasions. It is not easy. But it is something that must be done. If we are to progress, we must learn from our mistakes. If we were in school, for example, and we were studying for an examination, and before an exam, certainly we had passed papers at school to go through. We had mock exams. We had those things that prepared us for the real thing. Papers from previous years that give us an idea of the layout of the exam that we would face. And if we went into that paper and we came out with a result that wasn't very good, we would then have to acknowledge that we did badly. We would have to look at it and see that we made mistakes. What were we unsure about? Where have we failed? Where is our knowledge lacking? And from the mistakes that were made, we could learn from the future. And we as the people of God, if we want to increase in our walk with God, if we want to move forward, we must always acknowledge our faults and our mistakes and our failings. For we learn from the mistakes in the past. They help us when it comes to the future. Jeremiah was greatly distressed, but the Lord came and gave him this rebuke. It was not something that was nice to hear. This was a man who was genuine. But the Lord said, "You're struggling." A man who was deeply concerned about what was going on, but the Lord says that he had that difficulty, that he had that problem. Those things are not easy for us to hear. But there are those things we must hear. If Jeremiah was to progress for the Lord, he needed to hear that particular message. He had to realize that there was a difficulty. In Matthew 14, it was Peter who thought that he could manage when he stepped out of the boat into the waves of the sea. He thought he could manage with all that was going on. He thought that he could walk on the water. But the Bible tells us that he took his eyes off Christ and he began to look at the problems round about him. When he did that, he began to sink into the waves. He saw the problems, he saw the difficulties, and he sank into the waves. Yes, we may have difficulties. Yes, we can have concerns, but let us always keep our eyes upon Christ. Let us always focus upon him, for he will be our help. And then finally, I want you to notice the deficiency to be addressed. The deficiency to be addressed. We've noticed the distresses to be accepted. We've considered the difficulty to be acknowledged. And then there is that implication, the great lesson of verse 5, the deficiency to be addressed. The teaching by which God is seeking to instruct Jeremiah is simply that there is a problem that needs to be sorted out. There's a problem that needs to be fixed. Jeremiah is struggling. There's more problems coming his way. How will he cope? How will he go forward? How will he take that stand that he needs to do? And so the great lesson is that we must be prepared to contend with horses. We must be prepared to face the swelling of Jordan. And proper preparation, preparation for the trials of life, is found in the Lord. It is found in the Lord. If we look for help in the trials of life anywhere else but the Lord, then we will fail. When we come to contend with horses, if we look for help in the things of this world, we will fail. When the swelling of Jordan comes upon us and we look for help outside of the Word of God, we will fail. Proper preparation for the trials of life always begins in the Scriptures of truth. The Lord is that rock and a fortress to his people. There are men in the Word of God who suffered greatly time and time again. They were cast into prison. We can think of the Apostle Paul. He had that great trial, cast into prison, yet time and time again he was found rejoicing in the Lord. It was Ebenezer Erskine of Scotland. He suffered many hardships and trials in his personal life. But as his wife lay dying at the age of 39, his first wife, he spoke of the rod of God laying upon his family by the great distress of a dear wife upon whom the Lord had laid his hand. He acknowledged that that problem, that trial, was of the Lord. He praised the Lord. He said about the Lord being with him, the presence of the Lord, the sufficiency of his everlasting righteousness. But then he says, Here I am. Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. If he call me to go down to the swellings of Jordan, why not? If it be his holy will. Only be thou with me, Lord, and let thy rod and staff comfort me. And then I shall not fear to go through the valley of trouble, yea, through the valley of the shadow of death. He found peace with the Lord. The swelling of Jordan was upon him. The horses were running alongside in contention. But he was focused entirely upon the Lord. The Lord was his rock. The Lord was his anchor. Those well-known words in Isaiah 43, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. What wonderful words. The Lord is with his people. The Apostle Paul struggled with that thorn in the flesh. He prayed for it to be removed. God said no. But what did the Lord say? My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul had to endure such a trial. But the Lord's grace, the Lord's help was sufficient. The Lord's help is sufficient for each one of us, whatever our trial may be, whether it be small, whether it be great. The Lord's grace is always sufficient. In the Word of God, there are many places, many things in which we can read, in which we can receive that comfort to our hearts. Many verses that will encourage us as the people of God to address the deficiencies that we may have, to encourage us to be strong when the trials come. But we can also be strong through experience. One day, in the Valley of Elah in Israel, there was a young lad who ran out to face a giant. That young lad took with him some stones in his sling. But he took something else. He took the knowledge and the encouragement that God had been with him in past days. That God had helped him to defeat a bear and a lion. And when the bigger trial had come his way, the trial of Goliath, he looked to the past. He brought up before King Saul that he had fought the lion and the bear, and the Lord was with him. He went out knowing that God had been with him in the smaller trials, in the problems he had faced, and now this big trial was placed before him. He knew his God was sufficient for him. The same God who helped in the past would give him the aid that he needed in the future. May we always remember what God has done for us in the past. The past blessings, the past encouragements, the past help. And with the Word of God, may we always be encouraged to stand firm, to go forth. And when the time of trial comes, may we not be found wanting, but may we be rejoicing. Rejoicing in the help of God, rejoicing in all that he means to us, rejoicing in his aid, in his comfort. Comfort that comes from him to his people. Comfort that is always sufficient. May the Lord bless his word this morning for his name's sake. Amen.